Our last regular agenda item of the day, agenda item 8, Oregon Global Warming Commission. Are we ready to move to that?
Yeah, Danny's going to kick that off.
Good afternoon, Chair Imason, members of the board, State Forest Authority. Thank you for your attention throughout the whole day. And everyone's getting tired. For the record, I am Danny Norlander, and my position is the Forest Carbon Forest Health Policy Analyst, as I mentioned earlier. So Agenda Item 8 provides the Chair of the Oregon Global Warming Commission, Kathy McDonald, an opportunity to present to you information about the Commission's work related to Executive Order 2004. As a quick refresher, Executive Order 2004 was signed by Governor Brown in March of this year and directs many agencies and commissions to work on climate mitigation and adaptation through a variety of means. The department submitted a report to the governor's office in May, as outlined in the executive order, and subsequently was directed to undertake additional work as an outcome of that report. So department and staff have been engaged in working on those additional requests since late July, and we anticipate that we'll be bringing an update and initial conversation around the work in January meeting. So the nexus between the department and the Oregon Global Warming Commission and the executive order is in section 12 of the order, and it directs the commission to work with the natural resource agencies to develop recommendations for goals related to natural and working lands of the state. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Kathy McDonald, who is the chair of the Global Warming Commission, and she'll go through her presentation.
And I might just, if I could, add a word about Kathy McDonald.
I get to vote on that?
Yeah. I've known Kathy, I think, for almost 30 years or something in that neighborhood, almost all through her work with the Nature Conservancy. She was with the Oregon chapter of the Nature Conservancy for a long time and headed all the conservation work that was done there. Then took more of an external role in the public policy area and is now for all of North America, the Nature Conservancy's lead climate person. So she has, it's terrific that she is now chairing the Oregon Global Warming Commission, and I'm really happy that she's able to spend a little time with us. So it's a nice end to what's been a really, I think, outstanding day here.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. Can people see my screen?
Yep.
Great. Well, thank you again for inviting me to come and talk with you about the work that we're going to be doing as part of one of the major charges we got in Executive Order 20-04. It's really nice to see people like Tom and Nils and Cindy that I've worked over decades with, and also to meet new board members, or meet the board members I haven't had a chance to work with in the past. And I do kind of come to this discussion with two hats on, first and foremost as the chair of the Global Warming Commission, which I started in June as the chair. And second, with my Nature Conservancy hat on, I don't actually lead all of our climate work in North America, but I do lead our natural climate solutions work, which is kind of the equivalent of natural and working lands. And so what I wanted to do today is give you just a little bit of background and then give you an overview of the process that we have envisioned of working with you and the other agencies to develop a recommendation for a goal for natural and working lands. And I just first want to add my thanks to the department for the incredible work that you have done leading the effort to protect life and property and nature through the big fires that we had in September. A couple of weeks ago, I attended the Natural Resource Cabinet meeting and was really humbled. I think it's easy for Oregonians to look up in the sky and not see smoke and think that, you know, everything is done now and we can move on. And I know just how much work many of the departments, our agencies are doing to help us recover from the impacts. So thanks to you for your leadership on that. And then secondly, I really appreciate how much time and attention the board and staff have been giving to climate change over the last year or more. I'm really excited that the department is going to be developing a climate action plan, and the work that we heard about today, some of the different projects that you've got going and things you've done to position the department to be a leader in forest management associated with climate change is really great. State Forester Doherty said this morning, I think that the governor's office had mentioned that, you know, more comments were received on the Department of Forestry's May report than any other report. And similarly, the Oregon Global Warming Commission over the last 4 months has been receiving probably more comments on encouraging us to work collaboratively with you to really think about how to increase sequestration in forests in Oregon. So I want to thank you for the time and attention you're putting to that as part of this. So with that, here is the actual language in the executive order. It asks us to coordinate with Department of Agriculture, Forestry, and OEB to develop a proposal for the governor around a goal for carbon sequestration and storage in Oregon's natural and working lands. And that is a all lands charge, not just forests. And we have in between now and June 30th to submit that work to, or that recommendation to Governor Brown. And just a little bit of background, you know, in the U.S., the land sector offsets or reduces our overall emissions by about 12%. So it's great that the land sector is already contributing to climate mitigation. One of my colleagues at the Nature Conservancy published a paper in 2018 looking at the added potential that we could achieve from natural climate solutions, or by changing management practices on natural and working lands. This graph has a lot of information on it. The length of the bar is the potential, the total potential. The different colors represent different price points, as well as kind of how much could be achieved at different price points. And then the little bars on the left side of the axis represent the co-benefits that we can achieve with these different management practices and changes. So a huge potential, as you would imagine, much of that from the forest sector, both forests as forests, but also including trees in agricultural settings. So lots of potential. But it does mean a huge change in how we think about managing our lands to achieve the potential that's showing here. As we thought about the work that we needed to do to really address the request that we got, or the direction that we got from the governor, we broke it into kind of six steps. And then we are planning for robust stakeholder engagement across all of those six steps. First, to kind of identify what the existing inventory data is, where we have gaps, make improvements to the land sector inventory. Then we need to consider the methods for tracking emissions and sequestration from the land sector. We need to try and develop a baseline and a business as usual projection and then need to think about what are the potential policies, programs, and practices that we could take to increase sequestration on natural and working lands. And then finally, we need to put all of that into a recommendation to the governor. And some of the work that was discussed earlier, I wasn't able to sit in on the whole meeting, but I was able to sit in on the work that American Forest presented and that Dr. Kurtz presented. And, you know, I think the thinking that they presented will be really helpful to us as we try and build out a recommendation. So it was really great to see that. As Kendall mentioned, luckily we aren't in this alone. Oregon Governor Brown signed on to the U.S. Climate Alliance in 2017, and in 2018 we kicked off a Natural and Working Lands Initiative with the U.S. Climate Alliance, which kind of mirrors what I've outlined in the work plan. And I'm part of the Impact Partnership that helps the U.S. Climate Alliance, as is our staff from American Forests and a few other organizations that are working with the Alliance states. So the work plan that we've outlined kind of mimics this outline that of the challenge. And also, we are able, because of this challenge and the other 24 states that are involved in it, we are able to tie into some resources to help us with the major steps along the way. World Resources Institute is the lead for helping states think about what kinds of improvements to make in their inventories and how the decision-making process for going through that. They recently produced a great PowerPoint deck that has case studies and background to help states think through how to make these improvements. They've also, as an organization, been very involved in the past on thinking about how you include the land sector in an overall goal, and some of the pluses and minuses or advantages and disadvantages of the different pieces. The land sector is complicated because it can be both the source and the sink, and because the emissions can be lumpy, and because they can be generated by both human activity and natural processes. So all those factors mean that it's kind of important to think about the land sector a little differently than we might think about some of the other sectors. We have some great resources to start from in thinking about how to approach this, both from Oregon, such as the Forest Ecosystem Carbon Inventory, as well as the wood products work that you heard described this morning. And then as I mentioned, some tools that our partners in the Impact Partnership have developed, such as the CARPE tool, which is focused on agricultural lands. And then in Oregon, we participate in a Pacific Coast Blue Carbon effort that has been trying to improve information on carbon stocks in coastal wetlands, and we've got some expertise there that we'll be able to draw on as well. And then finally, there have been a handful of studies, including this one that I'm shamelessly putting up here because I'm one of the co-authors, that Dr. Graves, who is a postdoc with Portland State University and the Nature Conservancy, did and published last spring, that looked at different scenarios for changes in land management practices and how those could help us go beyond our current carbon emissions goals. And they've also created a tool that anybody can go into and kind of twirl the dials and change the assumptions and get, you know, different outcomes. So this kind of information, the work that American Forest is going to be doing for the department, it's going to be an incredible addition to help us think about this. So in thinking about the outreach and engagement, we've identified, you know, important stakeholder groups, obviously, and entities, certainly tribal governments, boards and commissions, the technical experts that work with landowners across the state, from extension, soil and water conservation districts, watershed councils, land trusts. And then we also want to do direct outreach to landowners and also kind of stakeholders, including landowners, environmental justice, land use, conservation organizations, climate advocates, who will be very interested in providing input on the goals, programs, and strategies. We've outlined a process. We have not committed to exact dates yet. We've been waiting for some added capacity that we just brought on Monday. But in general, you know, trying to do the initial outreach in October and November, you are the last group of boards and commissions that that we have been doing outreach to. We want to create some webinars that we can use to explain the executive order charge and how we'll be working together to reach that charge. We were going to develop a survey, or probably two surveys, to try and get information on what practices landowners are interested in, and what kinds of policies and programs stakeholders would like to see us advance. We'll be doing a synthesis of this information and trying to get back to the boards and commissions maybe around February to share both some of the technical work that we've done to date and the stakeholder input that we've gotten. We'll be going to the Global Warming Commission with a draft proposal, and then go out for public comment and synthesize that comment, and finally send our proposal to the governor in June. I think the earlier conversation that you had with Dr. Kurz had some great examples of some of the types of management practices and the considerations that need to go into the development of policy options for increasing sequestration in natural and working lands. And these are just some of the kind of mechanisms that could be pursued to help think about how to increase sequestration on working lands that we've thought about to date. So with that, I will stop, and I would love to get information from all of you, answer any questions. If you have ideas about things that we could do to improve the process, I'm all ears and would love to hear that.
There, now I've unmuted myself. Yes. And Peter, I'd like to make sure you're engaged in this too, in terms of the board's and the department's activities over the next several months on this issue. But welcome any questions, comments, or suggestions from board members first.
How will you be reaching out to landowners for the survey? What will be that mechanism?
That's one of the things that I hope to work with the Department of Forestry and Departments of Ag and OWEB. I think you all have some good lists and outreach strategies for us to be able to try and engage. A follow-on research project that Dr. Rose is wrapping up soon did outreach to small woodlot owners in Western Oregon and did a survey. So we'll be able to take advantage of some of that input in addition to doing some additional direct outreach.
And Peter, in terms of the work plan aspect of this, what should we be anticipating over the coming months?
Okay, so A couple of things to remind the board is that the executive order came out after we developed the climate change work plan.
Right.
And subsequent to the climate change work plan, we've got the additional direction from the governor. So the team's been working to pull all that stuff together in terms of revising the climate change work plan to kind of tee those things up. Because the Goal G revision not only relates to the climate action plan, those need to be synced, but I think they really provide the framework for providing input to the Global Warming Commission. The timing of the American Forest stuff is great because they will run the modeling that Dr. Kurtz was talking about and emphasizing the options to explore. So I do sit on the Global Warming Commission as a non-voting member, and there is now, Catherine's done a great job, there's a small woodland owner representative on, or a forest owner now, as a voting member of the board that had been vacant for many years. And I think the engagement's really well. We have two people working on this, Danny and Andrew, and then John is kind of overseeing, coordinating, and he sometimes sits in for me when I have conflicts with the climate meeting. But I think in January, we're depending on whether we have new board members, I think one of the things we're trying to accomplish, which would be what we do at the retreat, is reevaluate our work plans and make sure we have our priorities aligned with the board's priorities. I think that'll be particularly important around climate change.
And just to maybe add a little bit more to the direction that we got, the governor expects the Global Warming Commission to develop the policy recommendations, and the supporting agencies were asked to help with technical assistance. So, helping us take stock of the information that we have and helping us develop recommendations on improvements to the inventory, as well as other things. And I reached out to, in addition to the agencies that were listed, I reached out to DEQ and to DLCD and have asked them both to participate. And we had a couple of kickoff meetings earlier this summer and kind of had both policy leads for all the agencies and the technical staff for the agencies to kind of set a floor for what we were expecting to have happen. And then my goal is to kind of engage the technical team on an ongoing basis and then bring the policy staff in from time to time to help us think about the policies. And that work will heat up a little bit more in the spring. But I know how stretched all the agencies are. And so I'm trying to be mindful of that, to not put too much on the plate. The one thing that I'm not sure that we'll be able to do is to develop that baseline and the projection. We might be able to, but that might be a little beyond the capacity. So we're not giving up on that yet, but I'm kind of keeping that as a little bit of a relief valve in case it's something that is kind of beyond what we can do with the existing staff.
And that's the downside of executive orders. While they give you charges, they don't tend to give you any resources to accomplish those charges. And we've been able to shift some resources around within the small flexibility we had. We added a carbon person to the planning team, which is Danny. And we're looking at ways to accomplish that. We're hopeful we might be able to have the baseline done for forestry in time, but I think that may be just one of the recommendations, is we need to establish baselines for all the natural working lands, not just forestry. So, we do have an inventory, we do know the current conditions and the current annual flux, and then what we don't know is simulating that forward through time under existing policies, and then we could build off of that to simulate policy changes.
I have been in touch with a researcher that it was also funded through the Climate Alliance from Clark University, who's been working with folks at OSU and other places to develop what looks to be a really incredible data set that can be used to both look at baseline and do forecasting. I've seen one presentation from him, and I'm hoping that we can get another presentation that I can invite the technical team to kind of understand what that resource might be able to help us do relative to the forest piece of the work, which is the most developed of all the information that we have across different land types. But we do have some existing information that we can work from.
Any other questions, comments?
Oh, sorry, I was forgetting at the end here to unmute myself. I said I didn't see any additional questions or comments, but I think it's been a really good day today in terms of the focus on climate for the board. Last meeting we had was a focus on obviously a habitat conservation plan for state forests, but then that was an action item. This is really almost laying the groundwork for actions ahead with our focus on climate today. So I think it's been really a great series of presentations and discussions.
Thank you again for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy.